Hey, if you're looking for Flick, she's not here.
Actually, I came to see you.
Didn't Marley tell you that my personal life is not up for discussion?
Just clear something up for me, please.
What?
Well, you fought for honesty in my marriage because you know how important...
Sorry, are we seriously having this conversation in my bar right now?
Yeah, looks like it.
Huh, okay, get in there. I am not the one who's married, okay?
Seriously? Come on, Mac. You're ruining someone's life here.
No, I'm not.
Oh, so Levi's wife knows about you too? He has her approval, does he?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. And, you know, she's never going to find out.
I bet that's what Felicity said about me too.
Levi's marriage is none of my business, okay?
Right, and that's the kind of guy you want to be with? One who cheats on his wife?
You know what? Not everyone is perfect like you, Tane. Okay, the rest of us really are just mere mortals.
I never said I was perfect, Mac.
Okay, well, that's great. You know, and welcome back. Have an awesome day. I'm going to go home.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Hello, Sophie. Are you okay?
Hello, I'm good, thank Hello. You. Better than you, I think. Are you still feeling ropey?
I am, yes. Oh, yes, thanks for that. We'll prelude this podcast with a cough warning.
Oh, no.
Try my best. But I'm out the other side. Don't worry.
I can't believe you got ill over the Easter weekend. That sucks. I think you should get some time back for that. That's not cool.
I can. Do you remember at Christmas I was a cripple as well?
Yeah, I do actually, yes. Oh, no.
I'm paying for my sins, me. I'm telling you.
Okay. When's the next one? Is it May, bank holiday? Right, we're going to have to put you in bubble wrap for May, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, next religious one.
No. Yeah, well, that's not till Christmas, is it?
Oh, yeah. Roll on. C word already, we're in April.
I know. I think all the next ones are all bank holidays, aren't they? I don't even know why we have them. I just appreciate the day off.
Don't you just love May?
I love May, I love August. Yeah.
How are you? Are you okay? We know I'm good. Doing all right.
No, I'm good, thank you. Yeah. It's been a bit of a week. Clocks change and a short week. I'm all over the place. I'm discombobulated, but
you made it to pod on Friday, which is fine.
Yes. We're
podding on.
Yeah.
That was a fever joke. Fever. Don't blame me for the dad joke.
I love a dad joke.
Over the way this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with mixed bag. What about you?
It has been a mixed bag. I mean, the only really exciting storyline at the moment for me is the Valerie stuff. Because the Levi stuff would have been, but he's not been on screen, so it's just been a text message and some phone calls, so it's not been that exciting, has it really?
Well, there was a brief scene he's been out of 10 left, so
yeah, so it's
that's
not
put
really
a damper on your sizzle.
It has, yeah. What about you? What do you think about this week?
I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, I couldn't stand Home and Away this week. What a chore.
No.
I'm enjoying all the stories going on. For me, the standout this week has been some of the direction.
Mm.
I don't know, there's been loads of stuff on screen that has really sort of, you know, like taken me out of it a bit, and I've started thinking, oh, look how they're doing that. And some of the shots and the angles that have been, there's been lots of symmetry. I don't know why, I've got a bit of an eye for that sort of stuff. So it's been lots of like symmetry of character left and right, and Val's in the middle. And then there was a scene, I think it was yesterday, Friday's five-star ep. Theo was having a bedroom boogie.
He was having a Spotify party on his own.
Yeah, did you notice the some of the camera work that they threw in of it sort of twisting and
was that supposed to be because obviously he's high, so it's meant to be
you know,
that illusion of
Yeah, yeah, probably like the ground's moving. Yeah,
yeah.
But I, you know, I like that stuff. It's out of the ordinary. So I quite enjoyed that side of the show this week, I will say.
Yeah.
Just nerding out, basically.
I mean, it always looks visually, it always looks lovely, doesn't it? I mean, the shots in between the scenes are, I often pause them and have a look and see what's going on, you know.
I love the stock shots.
Yeah. I love a landscape shot. You know, I love looking at the beach from above or looking at the sea, or I love all of those bits. So it's
thoughts on the old special effects shot?
Well, you had to tell me about this because I was doing the tweeting. But I was looking at my phone, and then I got a message from you going, "Did you see that zoom in to Salt?" And I was like, "No, I did not." But you kindly sent it to me, and it got us talking, didn't it? Because I was like, "I don't," because you were like, "Have they done that?" And I was like, "I literally have no idea." So I think Marty came and gave us the answer on Twitter, didn't he? Thank bless him.
You did, and the director of that of this block, if you like, that episode, David Caesar, was, you taught him, which was like mind blowing.
Yeah,
and he was like, he's one of the greats. I was like, yeah, we're loving the work.
Yeah,
but they must have had, so like the exterior must have been special effects.
Yeah,
it, the interior is in the studio, like 200 meters away or whatever.
I can't get my head around stuff like that. It's, I just, you know what I mean? I just can't, because I don't have a very creative brain. Like you can explain it to me, but unless I can actually see it, I can't get there in my head. I just.
Well, I was rewinding it a lot, thinking when this, because if it was actually like a drone shot of the external club. Which actually, it's quite obvious it's not when you look at it, you know, when you pause it and have a look around.
Yeah.
But at first glance, I thought if it was, I thought, how have they then, okay, yeah, they've zoomed in. But then I was like, there'll be a cut somewhere where it then becomes the studio shot. And I couldn't find it. You know, I was like,
yeah,
my mind's going mad here. I'm like, this is so good. Quickly send it to Sophie.
But then I get all confused, because then I'm like, well, if the whole of the outside is CGI, then how do I know Xander's even real? And is he just another CGI kangaroo? I'm just confused. What's real and what's not? My brain can't handle this.
That bloody kangaroo, the forgotten character.
I think Xander's CGI now. I don't think he's real. But there we go. That's just my theory.
That could write us out of a couple of messes. Right, do you want your headlines?
I do.
Cash insists the investigation into who is the Mystery Surf Club donor is dropped. But we all want a blooming no, Cash. Spit it out.
Yeah, it's dragged on too long.
Mac is put in a place by Levi. Eden and Remy call a truce as she gives her victim impact statement to the court. Leah moves Valerie into her home under a cloud of suspicion. And a sizzling night of romance gets underway at Salt.
Please take the time to like, subscribe and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts, and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, Cash. Beginning of the week, let's do it. You know, this was the story I wanted, but he's calling, but it's the story that I now want to end. he's called a meeting between John and Rue. Meet me down the surf club at the new hangout space that we just walked through. Meet me there, and he says, look, I want out of the investigation. It's a dead end. And they're like, huh? What? Pair of them, actually, that I couldn't believe what they were hearing. She's like, I'll give you more money. Like, you know, do you need more cash? And he says, no, drop it, trust me. So of course they're not buying it. They know he knows something. We know he knows something. We know he's spoken to whoever it is on the phone, and we know things like, oh, we've not phoned in a while. But we know you know everything, so it's somebody Cash knows but hasn't spoke to for a while. We're having sleepless nights here about this, right? We just need to know. Later on, Rue calls Cash on her own, and I'm thinking, here we go, eye roll moment. And surprisingly, he just says to her, it's all above board, and she's like, okay, I've now to worry about. And he said, and I'm not going to tell you, so you might as well drop it. And she agrees to on the face of it. Like, that seems she done a Yui? Like, is she dropping it? I'm like, will we ever know? Is this a resolution, Sophie? Like, what?
It'll come up again, won't it? It's got the ability to come back at any point, hasn't it? That's the problem. The thing I didn't understand about that conversation, maybe I'm overthinking it, was she said something like, oh, did he say it? Like, they've got to convince John to drop it as well. And she says, I'll just tell him that, you know, you got nowhere. And he says, yeah, I'd prefer if you tell him that version of events. So he prefers Rue to tell John that he's got nowhere. He doesn't know where this money's come from. He doesn't even know it's legit. Like, that conversation between Rue and Cash that they just had about the money being legit, he doesn't want John to know that he's told her that. I didn't understand that bit. Did you? That totally threw me. I was like, why can't John know what Rue knows? That makes no sense.
Well, unless it's Alf. And you know the whole Alf and John debacle. And Alf.
Yeah.
But even then, but then every time I think something, I talk myself out of it, because then I think, well, he would have spoken to Alf recently. So
it made me think it was John.
Did it?
Yeah, because now I'm thinking, like, so if Rue says to John, imagine you're John and I go to you, because as Rue, I go, okay, Cash has told me it's a dead end, you can't find anything. And John goes, oh, okay, yeah, brilliant, no worries, let's just drop it then. Because he's the secret donor. But if she goes to John and says, oh, Cash won't tell me who it is, but the money's legitimate. I don't know, why can't she say that? What's the difference?
Well, to me, there isn't. But I suppose that could be a way that she could test John if she suspected him, which I don't think she does.
No, and I didn't until that conversation. But then I was like, why are we keeping John in the dark about this? Why is John getting a different version of this?
She does tell him, though, later, doesn't she? You know, it's so...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just a bit like, well, you've changed your tune. And that's sort of the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
So are we going to find out or what?
I don't know. The rumour mill, the speculation and the names that are being dropped on social media has been hilarious, because some of the theories are insane.
Well, so, I'm not going to lie, that's been more enjoyable than the storyline itself.
It has. Because to my mind, it's someone that's got Cash's phone number. It's someone that Cash knows. It's someone that Cash has spoken to on the phone in the past, but not recently. So it's somebody that's been on the show since Cash has been on the show. Cash hasn't been on the show for that long, so we can narrow it down. And also, the person that's donated the money knew exactly 30K. So I think it's got to be a regular character. But the internet does not agree. The internet thinks that it's A, Morag, B, Jasmine, C, Martha. You know, all these people that have not been on the show for absolutely ages, how do they know it's 30K? If it was Jasmine, there's no way Cash would answer the phone going, oh, I haven't spoken to you for a while. He'd be like, what the fuck do you want?
This is people's wish list of returning characters, this.
I think it is. I don't think there's any... I can't see the logic of some of these theories, let's put it that way.
If this goes the same way as the great diner robbery of 2018, I'm going to be human. Whatever year that was.
Was it older than that? Was it 2018? I'm sure it was before that.
I don't know. It might have been. It Nico was about, wasn't it? Because it was
Nico,
did he rob it or not?
I'm pretty sure he did. I've written him off for that. So
yeah, he robbed the diner and then robbed that baby. But
the baby was an accident. He didn't know the baby was in the car.
was never prosecuted for any of it.
No, he did steal the car, but he didn't knowingly steal the baby.
And this will probably go the same way. I mean, this does have the potential for someone to be caught up money laundering and all sorts, you know.
Yeah, we know it's not now, because we know it's legit money from somebody that we know.
Yeah, just because someone said it, said so by an anonymous phone call. I'm not satisfied, Sophie. I'm not.
If Cash says it's okay, then I'm okay with it.
And I don't believe him. He's not followed a rule since day dot. He's not even a man of the Man of Uniform anymore.
I guess he Man of the Cloth.
I nearly did.
He never was. Was he? I missed that storyline.
I nearly ended the wine. Okay. Right. So, yes. Somebody else who's far from being the Man of the Cloth is our friend Levi, the man on everybody's lips at the moment.
Man of the sheep, it's not the cloth. Yeah.
Between.
Between them, yeah.
Mark and Levi, they're swapping stories in Dodgy Motel, in Travel Dodge, about their parents and their affairs, and basically saying to each other things like, oh, you can't help who you fall for, lol. and all they're really doing is trying to justify their actions, right? Let's not sugarcoat it. They're both realising they had it bad. You know, he's talking about what he went through with Eden and it's tore their family up. She's talking about her dad and, you know, and how bad their relationship is because of the very thing they're doing. And they're looking at each other with a look of realisation, but then try and reason it with, well, you can't help it though, can you? You know, and things like that. And I was really frustrated. This, for me, bubbled up that frustration that people have with Mac. I'm starting to feel it quite prominently at this point. This for me was a bit of a turning point on it. And then she also, tell me if you saw this as well, because she suggests they go out for dinner and things, and he has to say, oh no, I need to get back to my wife. I'd had time for a nap, you know, like he's been out all night, he's had time for a nap first, but you know, and his wife's not asked, wondering what he's doing. And so he obviously goes home. Now, there's this moment where she's like a bit upset about that or looks a bit taken aback. And, you know, that whole, we're not going to have a normal, you know, this is an affair. Like, it's, you're not going to be able to do those normal things out in public.
Yeah.
He drives her to work and she's playing games with him here, in my view. She's kissing him on the cheek out in public. She's whispering sweet nothings. She's then bouncing around work on cloud nine. I'm just like, girl, you deserve what is coming.
Yeah. It's not real to her yet, is it? Because she doesn't know this woman. So in her head, she can just be like, oh, well, Imogen, blah, blah, blah. It's just a name. She's not real. So I think she's just, when she's with him, she's forgetting, conveniently, that she even exists.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. She's living in that bubble and she's putting the blinkers on to everything outside, sort of thing.
Yeah. Because if she actually stopped a minute and actually thought about it and thought about what she's doing, she wouldn't do this because this isn't like her. But she's not. She's just choosing to ignore it and just go, oh, it's just a name in his phone. And it's not until Imogen rings or he mentions her. And then it kind of, it visibly makes her sort of react, doesn't it? Like, oh, yeah, your wife. Like, it's like she's managing to forget her. Or forget that she exists, and I think it's because she doesn't know her. If she was cheating on, you know what I mean? If Flick and Tane were still a couple, and she was cheating on, he was cheating on Flick with Mac.
Yeah,
she'd feel guilty because she goes to work and sees her every day, and she's like, oh yeah, and I'm sleeping with Tane. But because this woman in her mind is just this name, faceless name, doesn't even know what she looks like. I think she's managing to block it out.
Yeah, you might be right. You're right. If she could see it in real terms, what it could do to somebody. I think you're right. Yeah, because she's a faceless name, as of yet, as far as we know.
I mean, you know, why has she not gone on Facebook? Why has she not gone on Facebook and looked her up? I'd straight on there just to see what she looked like. What does she look like? But then it would be real. She'd be real for her, then she's, you know, she's got to think about this other person.
Yeah, whereas she wants to stay in the inner bubble, doesn't she? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So,
she's confusing. She thinks that they're dating, you know, oh, let's go for dinner. Oh, no, you can't, can you? Because then it'd be obvious what we're doing and it's not a date. We're not a couple.
Because you know, like when she gets that text message off him, do not message me when I'm with my wife. And like she's proper knocked. She's knocked sideways from that, isn't she?
Yeah, every time she gets mentioned, every time, you know, she's reminded that he's married, she kind of visibly goes, oh, God, oh, God. And it's like, how did you not know?
Yeah. Now, did you notice last week?
Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, last week, Imogen phones and he read Button's her and she's all hers and they're in that, you know, they're in the that comfort of the motel room and, you know, nothing exists outside of that strong connection, let's call it.
Yeah.
This week, it's spun round. He's chosen his wife. He's with, that's where he is. And she's not allowed to message, he won't message back. Whereas, so there's a bit of a juxtaposition from who he's chosen and who he's prioritised from week to week here. And I think that's why we've seen this side of her come out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's stupid to text him, "I miss you," on his, do you know what I mean? Is she trying to get him caught? I don't.
Well, this is what I mean about playing games, the kiss on the cheek out in the car park, texting him. She's not behaving like it's an affair. And I'm a bit like, it's a bit unfair of you to try and trip it up if that's your, if that's her intention. It's a bit of a good area morally, isn't it? Marley's worried about, Kelsey, please. and then gives her the third degree when she gets home from work about it. And this line descends into a bit of a row, actually. You know, "I thought you didn't want to be that person. Let's hope you're okay with what you're doing." And of course, he's not seeing what us, the viewer, are in that she's actually not okay when things arise. I think you're spot on, Sophie. She's looking at this like a dating situation. She's not considering the affair and what she has to sacrifice for that.
No.
At this stage. The next day she's woke up, getting a breakfast lecture. And no, just bacon this time. Doesn't want to argue. But our old chum Tani walked right in. Why do people on soaps come fly back from countries and don't tell anyone until they walk in the door?
I know. Nobody's got mobiles on soaps. They have to turn up physically.
No Instagram, like, just at the boarding gate, you know?
Exactly.
Now, he's there, and there's this scene where Mac thinks that, you know, Marley, new public enemy number one, has told Tani all about it. So she blurts out, doesn't she? "Yes, it's fine. I'm having an affair with a married man." And Tani nearly chokes on his breakfast. And shooketh he was to the core. Yeah. And basically, he's getting a bit judgy at this point. You know, he ends up going down to Mac to have a talk in the old stock room there.
Yes.
Very interesting conversation, Mr. Stockroom. And I want to hear your thoughts, because I was like, why? Why is this man comparing his marriage to this?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting anyway, because if you think about what's happened recently between Mac and Tani, you know, his marriage is essentially over because Mac thought, you know, he deserved to know the truth about what Flick was doing. And she took it on herself to set, you know, to try and get that ball rolling and say, you know, there's something wrong here and she's lying to you. And so there's already been that kind of, like, she's interfered with someone else's marriage. And, you know, the outcome of that has been that they've separated. I'm not saying it's Mac's fault, but she did feel like it was her place to say, you know, she's saying to Flick, "You need to tell him. You can't just
speak to him. Yeah.
If you don't tell him, I'll tell him." You know, but then with Tani, she's very much of the opinion of, "Oh, well, Levi's marriage has nothing to do with me. It's not my business, and it's not this, and it's not." And I was like, I feel
standards
like
of the double.
Yeah. Hypocrite much. I'm not sure. I mean, you're right. Why is Tani comparing this? I mean, he's saying, you know, like, last time I was here, you know, before I went away to New Zealand, I slept with Flick. It was a mistake. And I was like, yeah, but you are actually married, you guys. You're not cheating on each other. You're not, you know, you're not having an affair. That you're allowed to sleep with your wife. You might be separated. That's not scandalous. It's awkward, and it's, you know, it shouldn't have happened and everything else. And it's caused a load of other problems. But it's not the same as her sleeping with a married man. How can you compare the two situations? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
I don't know. How do you feel?
I didn't get it, because I was thinking, well, there's no infidelity here. No. Like, okay, there was a lie. So that's probably where the similarities begin and end for me. there was a lie. But Mac isn't in the same position as Flick was in the lie, because Mac was counselling Flick and advising Flick on things, which, as we've said, was hypocritical. Now we mention it. But as Mac says herself, I am not the married one. So she's not even in the same position.
No.
I could understand it a bit more if it was a conversation between Tane and Imogen.
Yes.
Because that would be a sort of similar position in the whole lie. Yeah. Or I could understand it if it was, you know, Felicity and Levi, you know, who have both got to lie, you know, lie to their significant others. I just didn't get this conversation. I was scratching my head like, what?
Unless Tane was trying to say, you know, think about this woman as if it's me. You know, this is the first time someone's tried to tell her, you know, Imogen's a real person and she's going to get hurt. And I was hurt when Flick lied to me and think about the consequences. Maybe. But that's not how it came across. That's not what he actually said. I mean, we're inferring that, aren't we, from what we know?
Yeah.
But...
yeah. And in the end, it doesn't even work, because she just says something sarcastic like, you're so perfect, Tanya. And then just like storms out of the room, you know, nearly takes the sliding door off its hinges. You can relive it all, because I've recorded it at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just like, that got him nowhere. You're right. He ends up sharing all this stuff about sleeping Flick, and then they end up sort of calling a truce later on. And then, there's moments there where Tane himself has done a massive U-ey because Levi's phoning her and he's like, I'm not one to judge. You go ahead. And I'm thinking, are we all condoning this now? Like, who am I supposed to be rooting for? I think I need it spelling out more. Like, what am I supposed to... Where's right and where's wrong? Tell me and I'll believe in it.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Am I being a bit... I don't know. What am I supposed to think?
This is going to sound super, super sexist, but I think she needs to confide in another woman. I don't know. Do you think she'd get a different opinion if... I'm not saying Flick, because I don't think...
Another married woman?
Yeah. Maybe, or just, I don't know, is it just because obviously the Tane and Marley have said what we think, you know, I don't think anyone could say it any better. They've both said he's married, you know, this is a bad idea, don't do it, but they've both backed down really quickly. And I don't know whether it's because she's a girl and she's not married, and maybe I don't know. I'm just trying to,
I don't know. See, the thing for me with this storyline is I've got you, Sophie, you bringing it in the back of your mind, going,
oh no.
But she's doing that wrong, you know.
She is in the wrong, but she's not as wrong as him. He's the married one. He's the one that's actually breaking the marriage vows. He's going to, I mean, I don't know. I still don't know whether he's got kids. Potentially, they've got children. Potentially,
there was that bombshell last week. Thanks, Tamsin.
You know, potentially, it's breaking up a family, not just a couple, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, because we don't know yet, do we? So he's got more to lose. There's more people that he will hurt. She's not going to hurt anybody apart from Imogen, but he's hurting her anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying she's in the right. I'm not saying I condone what she's doing, but actually she's single. And I think, if you have to pick a worse person, if there's the worst person having the affair, then Levi is the worst one. But I don't know.
What are your thoughts with Marley sticking his oar in again? Because he's doing it as well with Flick and Tane this week. You know, when he gets with Tane's back, but he's not back for good.
Yeah.
Back for good. He's not doing a Justin take that this week. No. He's saying, look, I'm back and then I'm gonna pay again to leave. I suppose he's got a business to tie up, so he comes back, doesn't he, and he says, you know, I'm going to move to New Zealand. That whole mistake sleeping with Flick, the only way I can do it is to get out of there. And he tries to tell Flick, but it doesn't happen, and Marley ends up stepping in and saying, go talk to Tane. you know, she's like, I've got all the time in the world to do that. And he's like, you might not. Mm. So then she must clearly time it well with the bus and gets right up to the farm.
Once again.
As soon as she turned up at the very next scene at the farm, I thought, gosh, that must have been the express.
That bus must run more than twice a day now, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. She must have caught, she must have been just in time for the express, no stop. And she's up at the farmhouse in a frock because she's, you know, ready to go ahead with the moonlight sizzle thing. And then she's like, you're leaving, where are you going? I promise you, she's basically imploring him not to go, that she's not going to get confused. Her feelings were a bit mixed after they slept together, but she knows now it's over. And he's like, what about if we both move on? And she's like, well, we'll both move on then. And he's like, oh, I'm not sure. She looks like she's convinced him to stay. But that was Marley's doing as well. So he's sticking his nose into everyone's business here.
He is, and ignoring his own, conveniently.
Well, yeah, because the ripple all week has been hit. Do you know, the only time I've been into him and Rose have been when they've been at each other's throats. That's been woven through the whole week, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he's just ignoring his own relationship and his own problems, but trying to sort out everyone else's. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, it gets giving off bored housewife to me. Like, I don't think it's any of his business. And we wouldn't have got these conversations. We wouldn't have got these storylines moving if he hadn't done it. But is it his place to say? Is it his place to get involved? No, not really.
Nope. Absolutely not. Really. And it's a turn off as well, you know.
Yeah.
Just buzzkill.
It's a gossipy. Yeah. Oh, I know something you don't know. Oh, go and talk to Tarnit. I don't like it. I mean, I've been going off Marley for ages, but
I don't like it. But do you know what? If it was a funny character and he was comedic with it, I wouldn't mind it.
You know,
like, if it gave us a bit of, but he's not even, it's not, you know, like if it was John doing it, for example, we wouldn't be even batting an eyelid about it.
No, but, because John would say it in such a clumsy way, you know, yeah. It would just be like, oh, for God's sake, John, just, what, you know, he opens his mouth and words come out, whereas Marley's going up to her and going, well, you should go and talk to Tony. And he feels very judgy, Marley, and yet he's not very self-aware, he's not very self-reflective. He doesn't see when he's been a walking red flag in his own relationship for a couple of weeks now, and he doesn't seem to see that he's a problem. I'm going off him.
Yeah,
again.
We're not a fan.
No.
I suppose we'll see what happens. I mean, the right for me now. There's a load of couples crumbling.
Mm.
You know, Tenacity. They're in bloody crumbs all over the carpet. We've got Rose and Marley, you know, they're on the way out, aren't they? I mean, that we would have fizzle watched them back in the day.
Yeah.
But I've lost the jingle.
I'm glad.
Remember recording that? 3, 2, 1.
Fizzle watch. We couldn't get it right. And we were like, oh, that'll do.
Just press it onto a disc anyway. Remy and Bree,
yeah,
you know, yeah. They're keeping things from each other. They're not behaving like a couple. She's lost a family member. A complete Zed story this week, so we'll skirt over it. She's lost a family member, buries them, doesn't tell him, you know. Out of hospital, you know, he nearly has a lampshade drip. And you know, doesn't say anything like that. Yeah. That's not coupley. So
I can see that's different though. So with Remy and Bree, they are desperately trying not to worry the other one. So she doesn't want, because she knows. Well, she thought Remy's in hospital. Remy's not very well. He's still recovering. He's in a lot of pain. He can't get to the funeral. He can't be there for Bree, but he would want to be, and he would actually try to do it if he knew that, you know, she needed him. So she's trying to keep him in the dark because she doesn't want him to worry about her and put his own recovery back. He's doing the same thing. He's putting her in the dark because he doesn't want her to come back and miss seeing her dad. Because at this point, he still thinks her dad's on life support. He doesn't know that he's dead and buried already. So he's like, I don't want her to come back and worry about me. and miss out on being with her dad. So they're both trying to do the right thing for the other person, but absolutely cocking it up in the meantime. Whereas I think Rose and Marley are not doing that. They're not thinking of each other. They're thinking of themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're actually just not even, they're just not even putting any effort in either, are they?
No. And they're just sniping at each other constantly and just like, oh, well, you're busy with Mac, and oh, well, you're busy with work and your new job. And it's like, oh, children.
I know, yeah. No. I know. Dean managed it. Bloody hell. you're doing the exact same thing, mate.
Exactly. She's being Mac's brother and is running the board shop. He is Dean 2.0. Come on.
What other couple we've got? We've got Justin.
Justin. Yeah.
They've been there in tatters as well, although it looks like we're managing to, you know, get back. But, you know, I'm just, all the couples have gone to absolute shit. Mm. I mean, like, so yeah, we're in a bit of a weird place with all them lot right now. Friendships as well are all falling out. So Eden and Remy were at each other's throats about the fallout from Pinky and Perky and that whole, you know, big drama that went on that we absolutely adored, you and I.
We did.
Went back over that episode the other day. We were gushing about it. And yeah, you remember this whole victim impact statement? There was a big drama because Eden wanted to be a little kinder to Mickey. Was it Mickey? And Remy couldn't see it that way, you know, and ultimately he was still suffering the consequences from the day physically, and thought, you know, spade's a spade. They were both in the wrong. Eden was a bit more open to the whole, he was being coerced and he actually got them out of there, and that deserves to be heard in court. Ultimately, after much dummies out and shouting at each other, and Cash being a lovely boyfriend, saying, you need to tell your story, girl. Which he should have done from the start, which wound me up anyway. So he doesn't get full redemption points from us, I'm afraid. She does go ahead and do it. And Remy ends up, there's a bit of a chatting too. And I think finally they get through to him and he comes out and watches her do the recording. And it's like, he decides he's not going to do his. She said everything. What will be, que sera, sera. We'll move on with our lives. It's all up to the magistrate now, Sophie. It's all up to the magistrate. Do you think he'll get leniency? Do you think we'll know? Do you think we'll find out?
I think the second question is the bigger one, isn't it? Will we find out? I guess a text message or a phone call in the future that will tell us what sentence they got or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I think Eden's statement was really good. And she was the one, not being funny, but she was the one that was conscious for the whole thing, actually saw them. Remy didn't even know who they were. He was, you know, he was unconscious. Didn't hear any of these conversations. And if he did, he didn't remember them. So I think she was right to do what she did. I think it was a nice thing to do. I mean, this guy, this Mickey guy, he's going to have a criminal record. It's going to change his life forever. But, you know, she's thrown him a lifeline there and said he's not all bad. He's been coerced. So I think it was the right thing to do. What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think if I was in Eden's shoes, which is how I always approach these sort of opinions, I think I would have done and felt the same. And I think she did it right. And, you know, and I agree. I think, I don't, he'll not get off, but I think he should have a lighter sentence because ultimately they're alive because of him.
Yeah. You know? It could have been so much worse if he hadn't done what he, you know, if he hadn't said, because at first he'd agreed to dump Remy at the hospital, hadn't he? But then he chickened out and left him at the roadside. But he did call 000 and get the ambulance. And if he hadn't done that, it would have been murder, wouldn't it? Essentially, or manslaughter, or whatever, vehicle manslaughter, whatever crime. I don't know. I don't think it's murder without motive, isn't it? And I don't think they intended to kill him. But yeah, it would have been a much more serious situation. And then I don't think she would have been as lenient, would she, with him? So
No, that's true. That's true. So that action really saved his bacon.
Yeah.
You know?
I
will find out if it does anyway. Right, Leah, she's back at work. Speaking of bacon, she's there frying it up. but she soon sacks it off for a romantic picnic at the beach. Now, I saw this and I thought, this would be me and you, this. not so much the romance, but, you know, the whole, you know,
yeah,
bottle of wine on the beach.
Yes, when we get to Palm Beach, I will get us a picnic basket.
Do you remember what the when anyone went to the beach, everyone used to go to the diner for a wicker basket?
Yes.
That stopped happening, if you know, and they used to have the cutlery and everything. That stopped happening, if you noticed.
It's a bit of a trick. I guess they go to Salt now because it's literally on the doorstep, isn't it? I don't know. And then you get Salt pizza with the sand on. Nice. Don't know.
Yeah, because they had a good spread. They had like cheese, didn't they? And it was a good spread for an impromptu picnic. But I was like, that'd be a bit of us, that.
I want to have a picnic up the lighthouse as well.
Oh, bloody hell, we're going to get up there.
I don't know. I think the wine might help us power walk up the hill.
Yeah, or airlift. Yeah, why? get saving. all seems to go well with this picnic. And he's like, you know, even walks her back to work, bless him. And he says things, and I honestly had to close my eyes and just listen, because I thought, oh, I can't watch this happen. And he goes, I love you, will you come home? That was my Justin impression. And she's like, I was like, oh God, it's like the kiss again. You know what I mean? Too much, too soon, lad.
It's,
you know,
very,
I mean,
cringy, isn't it?
Yeah. And she just goes, yeah, okay. So she turns up. She turns up with the bags.
Oh no.
And then he does it again. He suggests an early night. I was like, why?
I know. He's really missed her, hasn't he? From the neck.
I know. I thought, bloody hell, a bit of fast, eh? Luckily she resists, you know, she manages to pull herself back from the Lothario that is Justin Morgan, and she ends up sleeping in the spare room, yada yada yada.
Not the spare room, one of the spare rooms,
one of the many rooms that we've now got. Actually, there's even a set now, because just Theo's got his room back. They've done a set for him. When the story calls for it. Later on, Val is around. Do you remember Valerie? And she's at the diner looking for her, and Maz fills her in. Now, we're aware Maz is a bit sus, aren't we, this week? Maz fills her in, saying all this stuff. Sure, she wants to patch things up. She's moved in. And Val's like, I'm looking at her face here thinking, she's thinking to herself, the cogs are turning here, my plan's unraveling.
Yeah.
Right. Were you thinking the same? That was my initial, you know.
She's thinking about herself, isn't she? Because she's got, at the moment, Valerie's got one of the caravans. Mr. Stewart said, you can have one of the vans, and, you know, while you're stopping here, temporarily, yeah. I think. Now, the only reason she's got that is because Leah is obviously friends with Marilyn and Mr. Stewart. If she moves back home, presumably Valerie's got to vacate the van eventually and go back to her life. She doesn't want to do does she? Clearly.
Nope. And as soon as she gets wind about all these rooms that are over at the Morgan house, she's like, she's in there, isn't she? She muscles right in.
Wasn't even subtle, was it? It was like, do you want a buffer?
I know.
Put down the middle of the bed.
Maz is there side-eyeing her, thinking, I know. Care.
She knows, doesn't she? Maz has got really good gut instincts. So if she's off about Valerie, then I think we're right to be off about Valerie.
Well, I'm going to trust Maz over anyone.
So. Yeah.
Mm-mm. If she's not happy, I'm not happy. And so Leah then puts this to Justin, who's let's say he's tepid on the idea. You know, but he does agree under duress to have coffee with her, because he doesn't want to put a foot wrong. He's just managed to get Leah home. He doesn't want to drive her away again. So he agrees reluctantly, doesn't he, to go for coffee. And Leah, for the umpteenth time this week, checks on supplies for something and then leaves him on his own with her. And he's like, come on, what's your story? And she hits the flaming roof about asking her why she was in the clinic all that time.
Yeah.
This, for me, tell me what you think. This was calculated, this response.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Because he said, well, tell me what's your story, which is really vague. And she said, well, what do you want to know? Do you want to know why I was in the clinic? And he said something like, well, if you want to share. And before he'd even finished the sentence, she flew off the handle. And I thought,
yep.
He wasn't saying, tell me why you're in the clinic. Tell me what's going on. Tell me if I can trust you. He wasn't saying that at all, but she took it that way and ran with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have the same impression?
Yeah, because most people's response to tell me your story would be like, born in Tassie, uni in Dubbo. You'll basically give a brief history of you, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Two
siblings and one dog, you know, like
yeah.
Inky Dinkyville or whatever. Like, but no, she used that as a weapon.
Yeah.
And actually what that did was equip her with power, in my opinion. Power over Leah again. We talked about her exerting some sort of influence on Leah, because now Leah's at the state at the, you know, Leah's having a go at Justin. She's like, that's really personal. How dare you? Yeah. And Justin is sort of knocked down a peg or two. And that keeps her and Leah up in this sort of controlled environment, if you ask me.
Yes. And we saw how she reacted when Theo asked her. You know, Theo said something like, she said something like, I had to go to the clinic after a family emergency or something. And this was the first time they talked about it. And Theo said, oh, you know, what was that? And she goes, oh, I'd rather leave that for therapy. Like, she deflected it. She just said, oh, you know, I'd rather not talk about it. So she could have said that to Justin, but she didn't want to, because that wasn't the agenda, as you said. It's she wanted to have a go at him so that then he'd have to feel apologetic and sorry and shrink, you know, and make room for her to feel comfortable again. And it was like, I saw through this.
Absolutely. And now Justin's had to go, oh, I'm really sorry. Stay as long as you want.
And go creeping out here again. Yeah.
Towels and linen on your bed, love. Help yourself. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. Absolutely.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Because later on in the week, Theo mentions her brother and she acts like, what? What brother? Oh, yeah, my brother. I was like, sus.
Do you even think that story's true?
No, because she doesn't seem to give a shit that she killed her brother, essentially. I know he was driving, I know, blah, 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 but she distracted him enough to take his eyes off the road, if we believe the story, and end up in a car accident that killed him. She doesn't seem to be that upset about that, unless it's to make someone else feel sorry for her.
Well, the other thing I'm thinking is, were their eyes a kite? You know,
both of them. Yeah, well, she was, because she was saying, you know, she was drunk. He'd picked her up from a party. She was trying to climb out of the car. She obviously wasn't sober. But I don't know about the brother.
If he even exists.
She just doesn't seem very remorseful about the whole thing.
No.
Only in a kind of, I need you to feel sorry for me and hug me and whatever. It's only for his, it's for to get his reaction. Yeah. It's not, it doesn't feel genuine. To me.
Do you think then, because obviously now she's under the same roof as Theo, there was a bit of a spark with them. Mm. And this week she ends up, because Theo's going through it a bit. She's gone to the party, hasn't she? The Salt. And she's been on these, we see her on these pills, you know, taking these pills. We're assuming is ecstasy, you and I, when we were messaging.
Yeah.
With a bit of personal or whatever, the shit goes in them these days. And she's on the come down the next day. She looks like she's, you know, struggling, massive hangover, what have you. And Theo gets the news that he's failed his tape assignment, and she has a go at him and leaves the room, saying, oh, your problems are so big, you know.
Yeah.
Everything to me is calculated, even that. Because then Theo ends up grovelling to her that he's upset her. And then that gets them closer. And then she starts offering him these pills, you know, to de-stress him. you know, when things are getting too much. And then we have, I mean, what it was a hilarious episode with Theo off his tits and talking to the mirror and having bedroom discos, and she's got him eating out of the palm of her hand. So
yeah, it feels like she's really pulling the strings with him, and he's stupid enough to fall for it, I think. I think it's all calculated. I think she knows exactly what she's doing. She's like, if I do this, he'll act like this. That whole, you know, I could say blowing up, you know, my problems are worse than your problems. Everybody, you can easily find somebody that's going through something worse than you. You know what I mean? Or you can find someone that's going through something easier than you, but you don't throw it in their face and say, well, my problems are bigger than your problems. That's not how it works when you're friends with someone. You go, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Tell me about it. You know, it was his moment to vent. And it wasn't like it was halfway through a conversation of her being upset about her brother. It was just totally out of the blue. He goes, oh, God, I've failed. You know, I missed the question. I failed my exam. And then she just snaps back immediately with, whoa, I wish I had your problems, essentially. And I was like, that came out of nowhere. And it wasn't necessary. So I do feel like it was a manipulative, remember about my problems, trying to get him back on. So I just don't like it.
I hate it. I mean, it's an interesting character, though, let's face it.
Fascinating. Psychologically fascinating. But
and I tell you what's making me more excited about this is early signs are it could be Maz that exposes her.
And then what will people do to Maz, because she'll be the bearer of bad news. I'm worried about that already, I'll be honest, because she's the only one that's seeing the problems and seeing the potential, you know, issue with Valerie. And we've seen in the past when, you know, people have disagreed with Maz and they've treated her like, you know, and will Valerie be clued up enough about Marilyn to use it to, you know, manipulate that situation and be like, oh, it's crazy Marilyn again. You've already told me, Leah, that she went off on one with Heather, or, you know, we don't know what Valerie knows. We don't know what Leah's told her.
Yeah, this is it. And a quick Google will bring up stunning organics in a heartbeat.
I know, but with Marilyn's mental health history, I just feel like this potential again for us all to turn on Marilyn and say that she's being crazy and that Valerie's nice and Marilyn's suspicious because she's jealous. Or it's already got my back up worried about that.
It's going to be good on the pot, though. Right. We've probably just got time, Sophie. Just, you know, I didn't want you to panic that we weren't going to cover this one.
All right.
But we've got time to go to that sizzling night of romance.
Look at all the OAPs.
All the youngsters. Yeah.
We want to do something that's going to bring all the young people to Salt. Nobody under 40 in that shot of Salt that week.
It was more like, that we still got the rental on the tablecloths from the fundraiser. What can we do with them?
Oh, God.
It arrived.
We had a
Yeah, we had a really fabulous Zoom that we've already discussed at the top of the app.
We did,
And Salt looked good, dressed well. It's one of my favourite sets on TV of all time. So I've said this before, it is gorgeous, that set. I don't just love Salt. It's just like,
I do. I think the balcony bit. I wish we used the balcony more when they're sitting outside with the twinkly lights in the background at night, and you know the sea's just behind them. I just love that whole setting.
Such a nice set. It looks gorgeous. Sander, bless him, the events manager. To be fair to him, he pulled it off. It wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it wasn't bad at all. It was. I didn't cringe. Well, apart from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 song. That makes me die.
I was going to mention that. I'm just like, if I was there on a romantic date, I'd be like, wind it in. I'd be looking for the plug.
That's not romantic. It's Sesame Street. It's 2 30-something-year-old people singing Sesame Street songs. I'm sorry, it's not romantic. But then, you know, what do I know about romance?
No, a bit of jazz or something, a bit of blues. Fine. I get that. That gets you in the mood. But never mind. We are where we are with that and the music. Xander's flogging tickets all day, you know, ice to an Eskimo. Harper didn't want one at first, and we'll talk about this whole Harper Dana thing. Dana wants to go indoor rock climbing. Where did that come from? Nobody wants to do that ever.
No.
I went once and just sat in the cafe.
I believe this.
It's actual true story.
I believe it.
Then Dana does this whole trying to set up Xander and Harper thing. But of course, it's not just me, is it? We're all watching it thinking Xander and Dana totally work. Like, yeah. What's happening here? And Xander resists it. But then, this is coming to my mind. It's going to come out of my mouth. Mid-sentence. There was a timeline error because Felicity left the party to catch the bus to go up to the farm. Speak to her husband, and Xander says, "I'll cover it, don't worry, I'm here." And then Xander suddenly turns up at Irene's house suited and booted, so I'm like, so who's down at Blowing Salt?
Oh, she was back at that point, because he did say to Flick, "I just need half an hour." She goes, "Yeah, go for it." So she was actually back in Salt by that point.
Are you sure?
Yes, I remember that conversation. He said, "Oh, okay. Can you do without me for half an hour?" And I thought, I bet she can do without you for the rest of the week.
Okay, I'll stand corrected. So he has a change of heart. You know, maybe he thinks, okay, I'll give this a crack. It's that, when Dana's like trying to convince him to ask Harper out, and he's like, no.
Mm.
Like, the guy likes you.
Yes, and I think she knows that deep down.
Do you?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I've got this weird feeling. So this whole thing, let's go rock climbing, let's try macrame or whatever it was that she kept reading off all these old, old lady hobbies.
Hey, back in. It's back in.
It doesn't mean you have to do it. you know, it could easily go back out again if everyone stops. So I think this was all off the back of that conversation which she had when she's like, "Oh, Tom, my ex, the one that I jilted for you, has got married and had a baby. It's made me realise I want someone." And I think Dana's obviously picked up on that. But I also think that she's got some very clumsy guilt here that she was the reason that Harper and Tom are no longer together, because she said something about, you know, "You were off your face on drugs and I chose you because he made me choose," and blah, blah, blah. Has Dana decided that actually Xander's a really nice guy, would be a good date, would be a good person to go out with, and has sacrificed herself by setting him up with her sister because she feels like she owes her a boyfriend?
Is that too weird? I think you're on the money. I'm convinced. I overlooked all that. You are right. And that is why we learned about Tom on Instagram last week. You are absolutely correct.
I don't know. It's just me. I was just thinking the obvious choice is Dana and Harper, because they seem to fancy each other. They seem to get on. They have kind of similar sense of humour. It makes sense. Harper and Xander as a couple never even entered my mind. He doesn't even know that she doesn't know that. Like, He turns up to take her for a date. She's got no idea about it. And she's never even looked at him or thought about him in that way. No, but I think Dana's thought, "Xander's an eligible bachelor that I would date. Therefore, I should make him go out with my sister because I owe her." It's weird.
Exactly. And like, and I'm just looking at this thinking, why has he gone there, lad?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You don't feel it either. So what were you thinking was going to happen? You know, because there's this really awkward thing, isn't there, where, because you're right, Harper's like, he stood in the kitchen in his red velvet suit or whatever. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? And they're in the bedroom and you can hear them going, "Oh, it's a pity date. Pity this, pity that." I'm thinking, come on, Xander, man, you know. Yeah. Talking about your dry spell, like, this isn't it.
No.
And then obviously the night is all very platonic anyway.
Yeah.
And they come home, there's no kiss. Like, Zayn is the one most excited about what's going to happen. Like, Zayn needs to come to, you know, just be with Xander, just give it a crack, girl.
Yeah, I think they'll get there. It's gonna be one of them dragged out things where I mean, really well. The next day, I mean, Dana Dana was like, give me the lowdown. I did listen at the door to what you were saying to each other, blah, blah, blah. How do you feel about him? And then she was like, yeah, no, I'm not really feeling it. She went straight to Xander. Xander was like, oh, yeah, the date last night. Couldn't even get out his sentence. And Dana was like, yeah, she just wants to be friends. I was like, oh, okay, that was very blunt. And
so you think that was like a relief, like, just let you know, yeah, that's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere. Don't worry about it. Yeah, forget it. Move on. Plan B.
Well,
plan B is you, surely.
Well, she needs to act fast because, like she said, they're both hot babes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a hot babe doesn't last long on the shelf.
No, exactly. Right, so it's that time again. You'll stay on the bay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Enthusiasm is through the roof. Yes, okay, you're sound the bait. So I've been digging through social media, reading comments, looking at reactions from people that have watched Home and Away this week in the UK. I've chosen a few to read out to you, Si, so we can react to people's reactions. Before that, though, a quick reminder that we are also on social media, aren't we? So if you look for us, Coastal News Podcast, or at Coastal News Pod, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Twitter, Pornhub. No, not Pornhub, sorry. ignore that one. That was a mistake.
Not on purpose, anyway.
Moving on. And we still tweet along with the show at 6:30 p.m. because we watch it here, don't we, on Five Star in the UK, 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday. We watch it at first look pace and we tweet along with the episodes. Hashtag Home and Away on Twitter. So come and find us, join in the discussion, let us know your thoughts. And then this time next week, I might just be reading out your comment. You never know. You never know. And we're not on Pornhub, by the way. That was a joke. at least I don't think we are. We're not on Pornhub, are we? No, we're not. at least I'm not. I can't speak for you.
What? How dare you?
I'm only joshing. So
It's AI.
Yes. That's my excuse for everything now. That's not an ugly photo of me. That's a bad AI photo of me. Yeah, unfortunately.
That's not my peen. That's an AI peen. Mine's much bigger, honest.
And my ass is much smaller. But anyway.
What has happened to this?
I don't know. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I've derailed it. What was supposed to be a quick comment, quick joke, has turned into anyway, moving on.
Of course, we'll drive into the ground, that joke.
My guy means back door. Anyway. All about the smut on this podcast. What do the people think about Levi and Mac?
Well, tell me.
Shall I tell you? Okay, I will tell you. So over on Twitter, Ty had been tweeting on the hashtag. So obviously I found these tweets and Ty's got a lot to say. So buckle up. I'm going to read these comments. All right. So Ty, first of all, says, no offence, but Mac isn't very smart for this affair business. Imagine texting him, I miss you. What an idiot. I think that's basically what we said on the podcast, wasn't it? She's just not treating this like it is an affair.
Yeah.
And she's going to kind of crop her. What's she playing out, basically? And then Ty also says, Levi's marriage is none of my business, which is what Max said to Tane, isn't it? And then Ty says, well, okay, in that case, Flick and Tane's marriage was none of yours, Mac.
Absolutely. Well, you said that, didn't you? Double standards.
Yeah, she's being a hypocrite. You can't say... Just because she doesn't know Imogen, that it's none of her business. And that Flick and Tane, you know, she's allowed to put a 2p worth in and say, you need to talk to your wife. Your wife's lying to you.
Yeah. Do we criticise her for that, though? Or do we sort of rationalise it and be like, well, you probably would be hypocritical in that situation, wouldn't you? Because now it's you. Do you know what I mean?
You would. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we can all be a hypocrite at some point or another.
Oh yeah, but we're allowed to call it out when you are. I think that's the difference, isn't it? Everyone is capable of being a hypocrite and incapable of not being self-aware enough to see when they're being a hypocrite. But I think also it's okay to point that out because people need to know, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd want people to tell me, like, if I was being a massive hypocrite, you know, some of my friends are brave enough to come up to me and go, do you know what, Soph? You need to know that you're being a bit of a tit, so... Yeah. You don't want to hear it, but you have to hear it, don't you, sometimes, I think.
Well, and sometimes that's the only way you'll hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Jamie's talking about, on Twitter, Jamie's talking about the fact, you know, that conversation we just talked about with Mac and Tarnay, and Tarnay saying, yeah, but, you know, I slept with Flick recently and all that sort of stuff. And Jamie says, yeah, but the difference is between the two situations is that Flick is Tarnay's wife. You know, that is the crucial difference. We talked about that on the podcast, didn't we? The fact that you can't compare these two situations. Yes, Flick was lying and it messed Tarnay up, but you can't compare that to what Mac's doing and what Levi's doing. It's not the same.
One word, wedlock.
Yeah.
Is that one?
I think so. Yeah. Let's go with it. Let's make it one word if it includes. Exactly. David's absolutely furious on Twitter. So Mr. David says, Mac is so much better, in capitals, than this. I hate how she's being ruined. And for Levi, of all people, so not a fan of Levi either. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not. Mac is a favourite.
Yeah.
Fan favourite. You know, she's one of my favourites as well. Of that sort of 30-something group, Mac is a standout. So
yes.
you do get defensive of your favourite characters, don't you? I know.
Absolutely.
Mr. David, I've spoken to him about, you know, his Mac being his favourite, so makes sense. She is letting herself down.
Mm.
She is. This isn't, we've talked about it being out of character.
Yeah.
If something was starting up between them, the right thing to do, the Mackenzie thing to do, would be to say, you need to sort out what you want, Mr. Levi.
Yeah.
Speak to your wife if it's not what,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, go away, guy, have a think, what is it that you want?
This guy is having his cake and eating it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do we think he's going home to Imogen? And
oh yeah,
you know,
he said didn't he, like, she said, tell me marriage is a sham, tell me that she's horrible. He goes, no, she's lovely, she's a wonderful person. And the don't text me when I'm with my wife thing, probably because they're cuddled up on the sofa together and she's looking at his phone over his shoulder. They're definitely still happy, you know, still doing husband and wife things, you know.
What you're trying to say is the guy's getting more sex than ever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not all,
no.
You know, it's not all doing.
And even if it's
the guy.
Even if it's not sex, you know, he's still having a couple-y relationship with someone.
Yeah.
You know, they may not be doing it every night, because who does after years of marriage? But they might be, you know, cuddling on the sofa.
Yeah. And you know what? The only person that ends up on their own in this situation upset is Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's doing it to herself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can understand his really strong response, to be honest.
Absolutely. And Farnie replied to David, and Farnie said, it's given me the ick because I just don't believe it after all the stuff with her dad.
Yeah, this is the bit, isn't it? And there was obviously that conversation this week of them swapping stories. We spoke about it in the main episode, didn't we, about when it ruined, how much it ruined them. They just give a look at each other and then make an excuse for it. And you just think, that's not the point here, guys.
Mm.
You know... the repercussions of your actions here.
Yeah.
Farnie. Mm. Yeah, I feel the same, love.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, what do you think about this then? So Just Jen says, oh, that text, Levi is nasty and Mac is an idiot. Do you think Levi is nasty sending that don't text me while I'm with my wife?
Well, so texts on Home and Away, I don't know about other soaps, but texts on Home and Away, even if you're like, the best couple ever, never seem to be signed off with a kiss or
no,
a little wink emoji or, you know, nothing's not.
Yeah.
All the texts seem quite cold, don't they? Regardless, so the text didn't really stand out to me as nasty. That sounds to me strong, but if you saw that, fair enough. What I thought the text was, and I mentioned it, that was Mac being told, you're not first. You're not number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Gina on Facebook says as well. Gina says that text message says it confirms that Mac is the bit on the side and that he's never going to leave his wife for her.
Yeah, and then she's got a choice to make now, Mac. She either accepts that, and that's the way it's going to be, or she walks away.
Yeah, yeah. He's absolutely made no reference to no inclination at all in his actions or anything he said that he's looking to leave her, that he's looking, you know, that this is more than an affair. He's just trying, as they said at the beginning, he's trying to get her out of his system because he wants her.
Yep.
It's pure lust. It's just an attraction thing. They barely know each other. He's happily married, as he keeps saying. I mean, I question this because how can you be happily married and also shagging someone else? I don't know.
But, well, we need to see the marriage, don't we, for that?
Yeah.
Well, that text was a reality check.
It was, you know, yeah.
This is what you've got yourself in for.
Yeah. They haven't had that conversation, have they? They haven't said, you know, because she said, oh, could we go for dinner? And then she's texted him saying, I miss you. They haven't had a conversation about, okay, this is an affair. So, you know, we meet up in the motel, Holiday Inn, whatever it is. And we have sex. We don't go out on dinner dates. You don't text me when I'm at home. You know, they haven't had that conversation. There's no boundaries being put up. And she's treating him like her boyfriend.
Mm.
I think he needs to have that conversation with her and say, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend. We're having an affair. I have no plans to leave my wife. He hasn't said it explicitly, has he? But for me, without him saying it, the absence of those words, I'm going to leave my wife for you, or I'm thinking about leaving my wife for you, or I could imagine being with you. He's not said any of that. So the fact that he's not even said it, I'm like, this is an affair.
Yep. And I suspect those words will come, you know.
This
always happens, doesn't it? She says, I can't do this. I can't have no contact for a week while you're with your wife. And don't know when I'm next going to see you. And he'll say something like, oh, you know, I'll leave her for you. I just need time. It's coming, isn't it? It's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I think it probably is. I think you're right. Sandra on Facebook's got very strong opinions on this storyline. In fact, she feels as strongly about this storyline as you did about the Chloe storyline. Do you remember back in the day when Chloe was on the show and you'd say to me, I fast forwarded through all her scenes because I can't stick her. Well, Sandra's doing just the same for this. She's put, I really dislike the storyline with Levi and Mac. Luckily, I record the episodes and I fast forward wherever necessary and then a little laugh in place. So, that's how bad it is for Sandra. Imagine that. That's the Chloe level.
It's with a storyline like this. It is, we said it a couple of weeks back, it's very, very relatable.
We've all had
something involved with this in one form or another, been touched by this sort of scenario.
We've either been Mac, or we've been Levi, or we've been Marley and Tane, and the outsiders going, ooh, that's not a good idea.
So for different people, it's going to mean different things, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Make different stuff up.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, Sandra's fast forwarding. Stuart's not
read between the lines. Read, make of that what you will.
I'm saying nothing. Stuart is also not enjoying this. Stuart on Facebook says, "I've seen more tension in a toilet roll than I have between Mac and Levi." He's not feeling it. I'm feeling the heat between them. I'm seeing that, but yeah.
I think anything Mac does in this department seems to be.
Yeah, she's a very sensual lady.
She's
good
at this stuff,
He is, yeah. She's a hot lady, yeah.
And I can't say I'm looking at her much, though, during those scenes.
I just can't keep... I keep seeing her heels in the air on the bed. I'm like, you're going to take them shoes off? Dear me. Sorry. Anyway, moving on. I've got a few more comments about Levi and Mac. So Caroline on Facebook says, these two are getting on my bloody wick, in bed with Mac, and he takes calls from his wife. How classy. Yeah. Sharon says, why are you bothering with him? He's married and you're only going to get hurt at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Doris says Mac deserves everything she gets. Hope his wife finds out and he dumps her.
Do we hope she finds out, though? Because then that means she's going to be hurt as well. I don't know about this, you know.
I don't think anybody needs to find it. I think this needs to end because it's not going to, obviously, but that's the only way that everybody doesn't get hurt. Mac will get over it. But if this all comes out, I mean, she's going to be talk of the town. She's going to be, you know, the marriage wrecker, home wrecker.
Summer day bike.
Yeah. I mean, they're calling her that on Facebook already. They've been calling Mac Bike of the Bay and stuff on Facebook.
Social media was the best thing the human ever made, isn't it?
I'm talking
all
about
all the things the humans invented.
I'm talking about the last comment on Levi and Mac for this week is from Kim, who it made me laugh. Deserves everything she gets, in brackets, trollop. I don't know whether it's the in brackets trollop that makes it funnier or the fact that the word trollop has been used. I haven't heard the word trollop in so long, which is probably a good thing. Probably a good thing that it's not in regular circulation, because I don't know whether we should be saying trollop in 2024, but it is a very funny word, especially when in brackets at the end of a thought.
Yeah, it's the under the breath brackets, closed brackets.
Deserves everything she gets, trollop. Yeah. Yeah, trollop. Okay, that's Mac and Levi. What do people think about Valerie? Oh, people have opinions on Valerie. Oh yes, they do. Mr. David on Twitter said, can Valerie piss off back to oblivion and Leah wake the fuck up? Ooh, very strong
mood this week.
Wow, don't mince your words there, Mr. David. And Julie replied to that.
Leah is being a bit trusting, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's trauma bonding, isn't it? She bonded with her in the trauma clinic, so it's a trauma bond. Very strong bond.
Well, what have they bonded over if it's all secret?
They bonded over the fact they both had a shared experience of being in the trauma clinic, haven't they, I think?
And that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, well, nobody else that Leah knows has been through that experience, has she? So Valerie's the only one that knows what it's like to lose her marbles and have to go in a trauma clinic. I mean, I think that's
I am thinking Valerie isn't a patient there at all.
You think?
I don't know. She's not told Leah her story. She's come out, and as far as we know, it could be a load of cock and bull.
Mm.
The story that she's given Theo.
I think she's a genuine trauma patient. I just don't believe the trauma that she's told Theo is necessarily the truth or the whole truth. I think she's probably leaving out. She's probably told the story, the version of the story that makes her seem more sympathetic to him.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, there's people on Instagram and Twitter this week saying that they think that Valerie's part of Vita Nova, and I don't believe that theory.
That seems a bit far-fetched, doesn't it?
And
if we prolong this Vita Nova story any longer.
I know. I mean, for me, I'm happy to draw a line under that. I do believe that she's been in the clinic for 8 months, and I do believe that Leah just happened to rock up to the same clinic and meet her. I don't believe that she was planted by Vita Nova in the clinic and that they'd know that Leah would have a breakdown eventually and end up in this clinic and end up roommates with her. I think that's all too contrived for me to believe.
Not being planted by Vita Nova, but what about the Nova Scotia group?
You dreamt that.
I'm swear I didn't.
You definitely did. You definitely did. You've invented the Nova Scotia. Yeah, I couldn't find any evidence of that, I'll be honest. Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy that, but I do think that Valerie isn't being, even though she's told in brackets the truth, in inverted commas, to Theo, I don't believe it's the whole truth, or maybe it's not even a version of the truth. I don't know. There's something that she's not saying.
What you're telling me, though, other people are questioning it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So Julie's replied to Mr. David and said, oh, we can see what her game is now. As soon as she knew there was a spare room going, she was right in there. You know, people are very suspicious of her. And I did ask Twitter, does, you know, when we had that conversation about Justin asking, oh, what's your story? And her throwing off the deep end about, oh, I'm not going to tell you because it's none of your business, personal. I said, well, you know, if you're Justin, do you have a right to know? So I put a question on Twitter and I said, do you think Justin has a right to know why Valerie was in the trauma clinic for 8 months before she moves into his house? You know, does he need to know the story? And you know, to spoiler alert, but everybody said yes. Everybody said yes, he absolutely deserves to know the truth. So just Jen said, I'm going to be honest and say yes, it's his house. Didn't he and his siblings all live there ages ago? Yeah, it is the Morgan house. We still call it the Morgan house, don't we? When we talk about it, it's Justin's house. So he does deserve to know, says Jen. Jamie says he does, but it's tricky if it's a severe trauma. That said, she's already told Theo what happened with the car crash. Was it the whole truth? Question mark. So Jamie's suspicious like I am. Joe Lauren says, yes, her reaction rang alarm bells as well as the fact that she got, as well as the fact that she got herself an invitation in the first place. She's definitely being manipulative.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, well, we called it calculating, manipulative. They're all in the same trope. She's up to something, isn't she?
She is. And we can all see it. I mean, we're not the only ones that are saying it. Everyone's saying yes. Sarah on Twitter says yes, he needs to know. Amy says yes, he needs to know. Julie says yes, definitely. And Bluebell Ivy says she seems a bit unstable to me. Like Justin, I'd like to know everything before I'd let someone live in my house. I mean, it seems not unreasonable, I think.
No, I agree. And Leah said that in a negative way when it all came out, you know, and it all went a bit. Leah was like, oh, right, so you think she's the mad one, going to pull a knife on you?
What
kind of comment is that? Like, yeah.
You're not comparing the two as well, because he knows that Leah's not a danger to him. He accepts that. But he doesn't even know what to look for. Like, he knows if Leah goes near the knife drawer, he knows to flinch now. But he doesn't even know what to look for with Valerie. For, as far as he's concerned, she could have been in there for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is he going to wake up with her standing over his bed in the middle of the night? You know what I mean? It's kind of creepy. If you don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even Leah doesn't know. So the fact that
that's weird.
It is weird. She's been kidnapped a whole bunch of times and she's still not shifty about some random woman that she's just met. It doesn't make sense. But
they've sat in this room for weeks together and not gone to that because it's too confidential. She was in the bay 2 days and told Theo.
I know. Well, she said the difference was that Theo asked and Leah never did. So Leah's obviously sat there for weeks talking about herself because... Valerie knows everything about Justin. She knows everything about Lyric. She knew about Kirby and Theo. You know, Leah's obviously sat there for weeks and downloaded her entire brain into Valerie's head, but not once asked her a question back. I mean, it doesn't sound that far-fetched when you know Leah, does it? I'll be honest.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But it is still a little bit weird that she's so trusting and not at all suspicious when she's been kidnapped. I mean, maybe this is why she gets kidnapped so bloody often, because she doesn't ask questions. it would explain it, wouldn't it? Who knows? And then Facebook was in a tiz this week because everyone thought that Tane was really leaving the bay. There's a few comments about Tane and they're basically saying, please don't leave. Don't break my heart because I need him.
What's the housewife going to do at 1:45 in the afternoon? We know Tane.
I know, right? So we didn't think there was any peril of him leaving at all. And these comments were actually left before we knew. You know, they had that heart-to-heart, didn't they, Tane and Flick? And she said, we'll make it work. You don't have to leave because of me. You know, stick around. And he went, okay, you know, I'll try. You know, so these comments were before that. When he was saying to Marley, you know, I think there's nothing here for me. So I'll just read out a few of these because, you know, just because people are saying nice things about a character. So Ali says, I hope not, but if that's where his heart is, then move to New Zealand, I guess. Jackie says, oh, stay. I really hope that Felicity and him get back together. Lots of people saying this. Lots of people saying, don't let him leave. Put them back together. Chris has put them back together. Karen says, I'd be gutted, but he's right. Nothing there for him anymore. He was only ever with Felicity, Cash and Mac. And obviously that link with Cash is weird now, isn't it? Because he would have been his brother-in-law, technically, if, you know, carried on the marriage. But if they're going to get divorced, he's not going to be brother-in-law anymore. So that's a weird dynamic now, isn't it? Ex-brother-in-law, is that a thing? I don't know. Nikki says, no, he's my favorite guy on there. And Margaret says, no way, put these two back together. But not everyone's feeling. There's a few comments saying that, you know, they wouldn't be sad to see Tane go. In fact, Paul says it'd be great if he left. He's not feeling anything. Not feeling anything. But most of the comments were, oh no, is he really leaving?
On the whole, like, because he's been a big part of the show, you know, the last years, hasn't he? Yeah,
absolutely. I don't want him to leave, but I don't necessarily want him to get back with Felicity. I don't know what you all thought. Loads of the comments were, put them back together, make them a couple again, you know, don't let him leave. Put, you know, Tonicity back where they should be. I'm agreeing with the don't leave comments. I don't think I want Tane to leave as a character. I don't think we're finished with him yet. And I think there's more that we can explore with his character. But I don't think I want them back together. What do you think?
I'm going to have to think about it long and hard before I decide, because I mean, I'm on the fence, but I do feel like I'm nudging a little bit to the same as you, in that this breakup's gone on a bit, that I'm now sort of, you know, coming to terms with them being no more. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I was to you, I was like, oh, we're going to be on the long road back and it's going to be like a reunited at some point, and you know it's going to be a long tough road, and then they'll be stronger in the end. But I can't be bothered with that at this stage, because this bit has taken so much of my energy.
We're exhausted, aren't we, basically?
Yeah, and I think it'd be good for Flick as well, not just Tane. I think Flick needs the break. But they're a big couple.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners voted them favourite couple. So they're popular. So the temptation's going to be there from those making this thing. If that's what the audience like, give them what they want. Hold me in your arms. Don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Closer in.